Well, thanks for joining us here at Calvary Temple Online. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 6. We're going to be looking at a story there in Acts chapter 6 today. Well, it's meme time, and I wanted to share with you some memes. Many of you have seen the movie The Wizard of Oz, I'm sure, and I thought this meme was pretty funny. The Tin Man and the Lion and the Scarecrow, they're all like, all this time, I thought she was calling for her Auntie M. You can see she's at the ATM. Thought that was kind of funny. Speaking of ATMs, one guy, I guess he was aggravated about ATMs, and he put this one out. I thought it was appropriate, though. It says, shout out to ATM fees for making me buy my own money. Right? Some people can definitely relate to that. Speaking of money, though, remind me of this one. 50 female pigs plus 50 male deer equal 100 sows and bucks. Sows and bucks. You know, I thought that was funny. Anyway, neat little sign. Neat little sign. Speaking of terminology, though, this guy here, I thought this was funny. The guy, the guy's cutting a tree down. The tree says, wait, I'm a talking tree. And the woodsman said, and you will dialogue. Dialogue. You know, like in dialogue. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Anyway, speaking of trees, though, this is what irony means if you think about it. You buy an electric car to save the planet, and a tree kills it. I think that's funny. It's interesting. Actually, not funny, I guess, but it's ironic, right? It's ironic. I have a friend, Jim, and he posted this one, and I thought it was funny. It said, still didn't find my other sock. How many have had that frustration, right? Speaking of chaos, sometimes you have that frustration. Well, one of his friends actually posted this in response, Jim's sock, Jim's other sock, you know, listed on the sock. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Kind of being funny with one another. Hey, before we get into it, let's pray. Father, thank you today for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the word that we're getting ready to look at today as it teaches us some valuable lessons on how to deal with the chaos that comes into our lives, the chaos that we deal with in this world. And so, Lord, I just pray that you speak through this mouthpiece, open our ears and our hearts to hear and receive from you. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to begin with a story that's been around for quite a while. Maybe I've told it before, but it's a great story. And it really feels like this story was custom made for today's message. Now, the story goes that a man was driving down the road following, you know, behind a large truck, box truck, and he began to notice something strange. At every stoplight, the truck driver would jump out of the cab of the truck and he would pound the side of the truck with a baseball bat, and then he would jump back in the truck and take off. Well, after seeing this happen for 5 or 6 stoplights, the man's curiosity got the best of him. So at the next light, he jumps out of his car, runs up to the driver who's furiously pounding the back of the truck, and he said, hey, fellow, can I ask you what you're doing? The driver said, yeah, well, it's like this. He said, I have a 1-ton truck and I have 2 tons of canaries in the cargo container. Now that means that I have to keep 1 ton of birds in the air at all times so this truck won't move. You know, have you ever felt that way? Like you have more canaries than you could carry? I certainly have. I mean, every pastor I know, every business person I know, every mother and father I know, every student that I've ever known has felt this way. That I've got so much content in the cargo container of my life that sometimes I'm just too weighed down to move forward. Now, if you've ever felt that way, I want you to know that you're not alone. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about the too many canary syndrome. In other words, I want to talk to you about the chaos of too much and how to deal with it. Now, we're in the third week of a series that I've entitled Chaos, and it's about learning to stand your ground in a culture of chaos. Now, in week number one, we talked about dealing with self-inflicted chaos. In other words, the chaos that we tend to create for ourselves, you know, both through our sinful willfulness and also through misguided and unwise decisions that we make. Now, we talked about the need to confront that chaos head on, asking the right questions, listening to the right people, and taking the right steps in follow-up. Now, last week, we talked about dealing with the chaos that we encounter in the world around us. Now, we talked about the fact that when even when things happen outside of our realm of influence and control, that we need to acknowledge that God is ultimately in control of even the most out of control situations. And we need to confront the chaos by taking charge of those areas that we can take charge of and doing our part in moving things right, even when it feels like the problem is bigger than we are. Well, today we're looking at the chaos of too much. I'm talking about the chaos of a full plate, the chaos that we experience many times when day in and day out, you have to do more than you can possibly get done, and the list keeps growing and growing exponentially. You ever been there though? I mean, every day you have, you know, time to do six big things, and every day 10 big things get added to the list. And it's not only stressful, it's extremely frustrating because it means that important matters aren't being tended to. Well, today we're looking at a story that takes place in the early days of the church, literally in the first year or so of the church's existence. Now, this was a brand new organization, the Church of Jesus, you know, filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God was moving among the people each and every day. In fact, every day there were numbers of people being added to the community of faith. They were growing like crazy. Every day people were coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ, asking him into their heart and life. Every day, urgent needs and matters of importance were being presented to the leaders of the church that required their attention right now. And it was up to the apostles to find a way to get things in order and to help them stay in order. You know, God was behind all of this growth, but as I mentioned last week, it's wrong for us to expect God to just gift wrap all the details and deliver them to our doorstep with a pretty little bow tied around a box. I mean, when we're faced with a challenge, we're expected to do our part. And so here's the story that I want to look at. Since the day of Pentecost, the church had exploded with growth, and as part of their outreach to the community, they'd actually set up a system of daily distribution of food to those that were in need. We're talking about the widows, the poor, the orphans, people that were in need. Now, this is our heritage. I mean, from the very beginning, the church has been involved in the ministry of compassion, in reaching out with compassion to others. And from the very beginning, we've looked out for the needs of others. Now, it's a habit that I think we inherited from our Jewish forefathers in faith. In fact, as William Barclay says, he said, no nation has ever had a greater sense of responsibility for the less fortunate brethren than the Jews. I mean, even in the ancient times, each Jewish synagogue had the custom of collecting money and collecting food from those in the marketplace and from private individuals, and those resources were distributed to those in need and to those that were unable to care for themselves. Now, the early church continued this custom. They continued to reach out to the needs of those less fortunate. However, because of this rapid growth and because of the cross-cultural makeup of the Christian church, some problems began to surface. And so at this time, most of the believers in the early church were Jews. Now, they fell, though, into one of two categories. There were the local Palestinian Jews who still spoke Aramaic, and then there were also the Greek-speaking Jews, those that had converted to Judaism or those that had come from maybe foreign countries who no longer spoke the ancestral language. Now, this second group was oftentimes considered a lesser class Jew. And so in today's story, it actually comes up that some of them complained about being overlooked in the daily distribution of food and needs being met. And so there's the context of what's taking place. Now, let's read the story from Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. And so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and in teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. Now, these seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. And so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Now, in this particular story, we see how the apostles took control of a situation that was really on the verge of getting out of hand. And they took some very simple, very practical steps that would enable them to deal with the demands of a growing ministry. Now, when they heard that there were issues with the daily distribution of food, they basically said, in effect, hey, this is a matter that needs to be resolved. But this represents more canaries than we have the capacity to carry. It's too much. You know, so let's reassess our priorities. Let's rethink our strategy for getting things done. And let's recruit qualified people to help us to do it. And that's what they did. Now, if you're dealing today with the tyranny of a full plate and you currently have more cargo than you can carry, I want you to know that this is a good thing. At least most of the time anyway, it's a good thing. I mean, being busy is good when you're busy doing the right things. Being busy is actually good because it means that doors are opening, that opportunities are available. You know, that things are going in the right direction. In fact, I was talking to a guy recently who started his own accounting business a while back, and he spent weeks waiting for the first customer and waiting for the next customer after that. And at one point he said, man, what I wouldn't give to have too much work to do, I'm tired of doing nothing. You know, fortunately, most of us have the opposite problem, right? More opportunities than we have time to pursue. More canaries than we have the capacity to carry. You know, some see the solution to this problem as, you know what, I need less canaries. I need less on my plate. However, those that have learned to stand strong in a culture of chaos, they will say instead, hey, I don't want less cargo. I want a bigger cargo container. I don't want less on my plate. I want a bigger plate. Now, if this is you, then today I want to suggest three things that you can do that will help you to increase your capacity to get things done. If you're in the middle of the chaos that comes from having too many canaries, too much on your plate, there are three things that you need to keep an eye out for. First of all, number one, you need to keep an eye out for uncovered bases. You need to keep an eye out for uncovered bases. Now, I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. Make sure you have all your bases covered, right? You've heard that phrase, right? Now, the situation between the Hebraic Jews and the Grecian Jews, this was an uncovered base. It was something that was slipping through the cracks. It was a serious matter that had been overlooked and could not be overlooked anymore. Now, the apostles could have dismissed the complaint and you know, saying something along the lines of, no matter, you know, what you do, somebody's going to find something to gripe about. I mean, there's always going to be something to gripe about. I mean, they could have said that because it's kind of true, right? I mean, people are going to complain. I mean, even when their complaint has no validity, people are going to complain. However, wise people can discern the difference between frivolous whining and a genuine problem that needs to be resolved. There are many folks out there who would not respond the way the apostles responded in this situation. Their response would have been to tell the Hellenistic Jews to stop making such a big deal out of nothing and to stop being so negative and so divisive. And in doing so, they would have lost a great opportunity for ministry. Listen, just because you're busy, just because you got a lot on your plate, doesn't give you permission to ignore the needs of others or ignore problematic situations. Many times when a business has closed its doors and is no longer in business, it's because the owners paid no attention to uncovered bases. I mean, it's easy to think that if I ignore this problem long enough, it'll go away. If I just leave this door open, some of these canaries will fly away and I won't have to deal with them anymore. But that's not the way to develop strength in the midst of chaos. I mean, it may sound like I'm heaping more stress on you when you're already stretched to the limit, but I'm not. So stay with me for a minute, okay? Stay with me. I want you to understand first that no matter how hectic things may be, you still need to keep an eye out for uncovered bases. You still need to keep an eye out for unmet needs. You still need to keep an eye out for opportunities that God is bringing your way. I mean, this situation between the Greek-speaking Jews and the Aramaic-speaking Jews was really an opportunity in disguise. It was an opportunity to increase the church's effectiveness in serving others, and it was also an opportunity to create a whole new ministry option for dedicated believers. Now, the apostles chose seven men, and they appointed them as deacons, servants of the church. They came. That's what deacon means, servant. It was a servant of the church. And they came up with this plan because of the second thing, though, that I want you to see today, that in order to deal with chaos of having, you know, too much to do, you need to, number two, keep an eye out for solutions that won't compete with your priorities. Now, the apostles said, in effect, I mean, yeah, this is a problem that needs to be addressed, but we have other problems as well. And our top priority is preaching and teaching the Word of God. And if we devote all of our time to the daily distribution of food, I mean, as important as that ministry might be, we won't have time to tend to what God has called us to do above and beyond everything else, and that is preaching the Word of God. Now, it's not that preaching is more important than serving, or that preaching is more important than seeing the needs of others met. You know, both of those need to be done. But the apostles themselves, they couldn't do it all. And so they got creative and they came up with a plan that didn't compete with their top priority of preaching the Word of God. And so here's what I'm saying. One mistake that we make when our schedules become too full is that we start just chopping things from our schedule. We start just nixing things right out of our schedule. Now, this can be a good thing if we're eliminating non-essential, time-wasting activity, but it's a bad thing when our schedule, you know, the chopping of our schedule causes us to overlook essential matters. I mean, eliminating TV, good. Eliminating ministry to others that are in need, not good. So let's not make that mistake. We also don't want to make the next mistake, and that is the second mistake that we make when our schedules become too full, is that we allow ourselves to become distracted from our number one priority. Now, the number one priority for the apostles was preaching the Word of God, you know, sharing the Word of God with others, making sure people are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, very close second for them was the daily distribution of food to those that were in need, meeting the needs of others. Now, the apostles couldn't do both of those things themselves, so they came up with a plan that allowed for both things to be done. Now, listen, when we come at this with the attitude that says, I'm not going to eliminate anything important from my life, but I am going to keep my top priorities as my top priority. Now, when this is our attitude, then the right solution will present itself. And so if your plate is too full, there's a solution that doesn't involve dismissing the needs of others, and that doesn't involve setting your top priorities aside. If you seek out this solution, you're going to find it. Now, it usually comes in the form of the third thing, though, that I want you to see today, and that is this, that in order to deal with chaos of having too much to do, you need to, number three, keep an eye out for what others have to offer. You need to look out to see what others have to offer. The apostles said, hey, here's a job that desperately needs to be done. And look, we have seven men who are well-respected. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're overflowing with wisdom. Let's get them plugged into ministry in helping out with this need. Now, these seven men were ideal for the job because the apostles had been doing their job. They'd been teaching those men the Word of God, bringing them up in their growth. That's what the disciples were doing. That's what the apostles were doing. They were teaching them the Word of Christ, and you know, so that they could become the devoted disciples that God had called them to be. Now, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit. They got filled with the Spirit sitting under the apostles' teaching. The Bible says also that they were full of wisdom. They developed wisdom also by sitting under the apostles' teaching. So the apostles had been bringing these seven men along and bringing them, growing them, and maturing them in the Lord to the place that now they were ready to be plugged in. Now, listen, if the disciples had spent all of their time waiting tables rather than preaching the word, these men would not have become mature believers. And they would not have been ready to step into their own area of ministry. And so while the apostles were preaching and teaching the Word of God, they're also paying attention to the believers around them. They're seeing how other folks in the church were coming along and how they're growing in their faith, how they're committed to live a life of holiness. And when the time was right, these apostles, they would plug them into an area of ministry. Get them involved in doing ministry. Listen, if your plate is too full, it's not that God wants you to toss out some of the good stuff on your plate. It's that he wants you to find a way to share what's on your plate with others. to get them involved in doing things that are helpful to others. I want you to think of some of the things that are maybe creating overflow in your daily, you know, schedule. And then ask yourself, who can I recruit to join me in this endeavor? That help me out to make this not only a doable thing to, you know, for me, but also give them the blessing of being a part of this. For example, if you're a parent and you're overwhelmed by household chores, consider redistributing certain areas to your children. Get your children involved, or maybe reevaluate things with your spouse. If you're overwhelmed at work, reevaluate how you manage your time. Check with others for suggestions on ways to help and get them involved maybe in taking some of those things off. You know, delegate some of the stuff to them. Listen, delegation may be necessary in certain areas of your life. So be open to allowing others to assist you if you're overwhelmed. Look for partnership. Share the responsibility. Two can always do way more than one. In fact, two can do more than two by themselves can do when they work together, when they share the responsibilities. So get some other people involved, and it'll be a blessing to them as well. You know, in closing, now I know what it's like to have 2 tons of canaries in a 1-ton truck. And I know how tempting it is just to open up the back door and let some of those canaries disappear, let them fly away. But more than that, I know how tempting it is to forget about driving that truck altogether and just to spend all your time instead pounding on the cargo container with a baseball bat. But that's not God's way of doing it. Listen, this is God's way of doing it. That when you have too many canaries in the truck, He wants to help you to get a bigger truck. When you got too much on your plate, He wants to help you to get a bigger plate. And as long as you're serious about being a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ, you will never get to the place where you have next to nothing to do. You'll never get to the place where your schedule isn't full. Why? Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and that is to do as much as you possibly can while you are here on this earth. Listen, that's because we're not on vacation here. This is not an extended spring break for us here on this earth. God has a plan for us, and it involves us staying busy doing things for the kingdom of God. You know, Christine Kane says in her book, Don't Look Back, that if we are still breathing and have a pulse, then God has a purpose for us to fulfill. We do not need to get stuck in retirement, stuck in comfort, stuck in predictability, stuck in ease, stuck in leisure, stuck out of sight, or stuck in past memories, past accomplishments, past achievements, and basically stuck waiting to die. In fact, the data shows that if we have a mission and purpose, we live longer. You see, in this life, we've got a job to do. God has called us to be a world changer, to change the world. And we have a world out there that is in need of being changed. When I say change, what am I meaning? What am I referring to? That they need to come into a relationship with a loving God. They need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God's given us that calling, that plan, that purpose to go out and bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, the plate before us becomes bigger, and the cargo container, it expands when we stand strong in our commitment to not only reach others, but to serve the needs of others. And we stand strong in our commitment to keep our priorities straight, and we stand strong in our commitment to work hand in hand with one another, bringing others on board, letting them help us in sharing the load in reaching the world and changing the world for Jesus Christ. You know, today, maybe you've never opened your heart or life to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. God loves you so much. He wants a relationship with you more than you could possibly know. But sin broke that relationship. And because of the sin that we've committed and we've just lived day in and day out in our lives, we were separated from God. But God loves us so much, He sent His Son Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary to pay the price for the sins of mankind once and for all. He's offering that as a free gift to each and every one of us. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of a renewed relationship with Him, the gift of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so if you've never opened your heart or life to Him, you never received that gift. Because see, a gift requires receiving. You can offer a gift to someone, but they have to receive that gift. And so if you've never received that, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Say this. Say, dear Jesus, thank You for coming and dying on the cross to pay the price for my sins. I receive that forgiveness right here, right now. I ask You to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I want to begin a relationship with you right now. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer in the comment section, just say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, and I just want to rejoice with you, and I want to pray that God will help you to grow in that relationship with Him. You know, God loves us so much, and He's got a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives, and He's waiting for us to fulfill that plan and purpose, to continue to walk in it, and that involves changing the world. How do we change the world? By telling them about Jesus and how much God loves them. How do we change the world? By making sure the needs of others are met. How do we change the world? By working together, having our priorities straight, and then working together, sharing the load, and having others help us in walking this walk of fulfilling the plan and purpose that God has for each one of our lives. So I want to close in prayer today that just God would use you in a powerful way, and that even when it seems like we have too many canaries in the container, too much on our plate, you know, that there's just so much in our life, too much stuff, that we can clean out the priorities and we can meet the needs of others as we work hand in hand with one another. Father, thank you so much today for your love again and your mercy toward us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the calling that you placed upon our life, that plan and that purpose that you created us for. And Lord, that is to reach this world, to see it change, Lord, in a way that they come to know you, that they allow you to be in a relationship with them on a daily basis, that we allow your kingdom to come, your will to be done. Lord, help us to make sure our priorities are straight, to not panic when we have too much, Lord, but to ask for more as we bring others alongside to work together to see things accomplished for your glory. And we give you the praise, Lord, as we can see this world being changed, not by might or power, but by your Spirit working in and through us. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go out and change the world.